Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Hello, word nerds, and welcome to the most wonderful podcast in the world. It's The Dictionary. I am Spencer, and this is, we got a couple more pre-G episodes consisting of words that were added to the Oxford Dictionary in 2025. I am currently in the June section. They were added in June. And if you missed it, or if you don't remember, I shall tell you that after the next episode, you're going to be like, but there's more words that were added to the Oxford Dictionary in 2025. What are those? When are you going to tell me about those? Well, I'm going to tell you about them on Patreon. You must join the Patreon for only $1 a month. Very, very cheap. Not only will you be getting episodes very early, but you will also be getting this handful of exclusive episodes where I discuss the words that were added, the rest of the words that were added in 2025, just to Oxford. Okay, let's talk about these words. The first one here today is Bengal cat. Two words. The B is capitalized. It is a noun, and it is a breed of cat originally developed in the United States by crossing the leopard cat with a domestic cat. Also, a cat of dot, dot, dot. The species name, by the way, for the leopard cat is Prionalirus bengalensis. So they bred a couple of cats together to make the Bengal cat. I don't understand why Bengal cat is being added to the dictionary now. Seems odd. This is a very beautiful cat. They do have those sort of leopardy spots, at least some of them do. But what does the leopard cat look like? I assume it's going to look like a leopard. Oh, yes. It's very leopardy. This one's got real big eyes. Domestic cat is a pretty vague type of cat to breed with. Seems like maybe there should there be something a little bit more specific? If I remember correctly, I think somebody I knew had a Bengal cat, and it was kind of tall and lean and slender and muscular, kind of a bigger than average cat maybe, and it was leaping all over the place. All right, that's Bengal cat. All cats are great. Now we shall move on to Bengal match. Well, Bengal is still capitalized. I also don't understand why they choose Bengal for the Bengal cat. I mean, Bengal is in the species name of the leopard cat. I think I need to confirm. Isn't Bengal a city? Where is Bengal? It's a historical and geographical region in Asia. There we go. Primarily corresponding to modern-day Bangladesh, which maybe there's a similar etymology there, and the Indian state of West Bengal. Bengal. So that's the region. It looks like it's on the east side of India, but it's West Bengal. So are there leopards over there and the leopard cats? And then we took that and we said, this cat, even though it was made in the U.S., it's kind of like it's from that region in the world. Okay, well, now we have another Bengal word, which I already said, and I had to go back to the cat because there was some stuff in my brain I had to get out. So now we have Bengal match. Yeah, like a match that has fire on it. This is a noun. It is a small handheld firework that resembles a match and, when struck or lit, produces a steady and intense light of a particular color, dot, dot, dot. So it's a kind of firework? I want to see. I want to know about this. Nope, I typed in watch. Bengal watch. There's a couple of watches with cats on it. No, Bengal match. What could... No, I don't want to look at the cricket matches. Is this cricket? What are these? With a team from Bengal? Nope. I guess I have to type in firework. Come on, people. If this is such an important word that you're going to add to the dictionary, then maybe you should make it easier to find. Small handheld fireworks similar to sparklers that burn with a brightly colored flame for a longer duration than ordinary matches. So are they... here, the name is believed to have originated from their use by ancient Bengalis for signals and religious ceremonies where they were lit in bamboo tubes. Oh, interesting. Yes, I would like to hold a Bengal match for a minute and just watch it sparkle with colors longer than a regular match, which is really not very long. Okay, next we have Bingo Bango. Two words with a hyphen. Bingo Bango. I mean, how can you not love just saying those words together? Okay, well, let's do all of the vowels. Bango, bango, bingo, bongo, bungo. Bwango sometimes. Okay, this is a noun and an interjection, and it is denoting a series of hits, blows, shots, impacts, etc. And now it is rare. Denoting a series of hits, blows, shots, impacts. So are you saying bingo, bango? When you are getting hit, you're hitting, maybe there's a boxing match, and the announcers were saying, oh, bingo, bingo, that guy got hit so many times. What an amazing boxing match this is. The crowd is going wild with all of the bingo, bingo punches. Who would say bingo, bingo? That's what we have to look for. What is this? What is this silly phrase? The phrase Bingo Bango is most famously associated with Cricket Green from the Disney show Big City Greens. It's also used in other contexts, such as the character Bingo Bango in True and the Rainbow Kingdom, and has historical roots as a colloquial term for a series of blows or impacts. Colloquial term? So like the actual hits? Are the bingo bango here? What's this? In sports, bingo bango bongo is a popular point-based golf game. Bingo is the first player to hit the green. Bango is the first player whose ball is closest to the pin. And bongo is the first player to sink the ball. Well, hey, that was a lot of stuff. In popular culture, here's a couple of things I'm aware of. Adventure Time. The Root Beer Guy character said the phrase in one episode. Inglourious Bastards, that movie, the word bingo is used as an exclamation, though bingo bango is not specifically said in the film. Well, then why did you tell me about it, AI? Bingo bango, what a lovely thing to say. Next, we have bingo card. Did this come up at some point? Was this in the March 2025 thing? I remember talking about this at some point. Well, let's talk about it again. This is a noun. It is a card or piece of paper printed with numbers in a grid, which a player in a game of bingo marks or covers as corresponding numbers, dot, dot, dot. The rest of the sentence is probably as corresponding numbers are yelled out over a microphone by somebody who is running the game. Recently, we have played a couple of times, we have played Singo. At a restaurant, somebody comes and there's a whole Singo thing where each card has maybe Golden Oldies songs or 90s hip hop or something like that. And then they'll play the song for maybe 20 seconds or something on the speakers. And then if you have that song on your card, you get to mark it off. It's a much more fun way to play bingo. And they encourage you to cheat because we don't know all of the titles of these songs, and so we have to use an app on our phone to find out what the songs are. It's because it makes it easy that way, because otherwise you wouldn't know, and you would be screwed. So you got to make it a little easier. It's just a fun way to play bingo when you get to sing songs. But it doesn't say anything about, I didn't have human rights being taken away on my bingo card. It's being used in that sort of fun way. Okay, next, we have just bingo, capital B. I don't know why it didn't come earlier alphabetically. Does the capital change alphabetization? So, bingo, this is a game in which players dance in a ring. Okay, this is not the bingo that I know of. A game in which players dance in a ring and sing any of various versions of the folk song Bingo, and which sometimes include a spelling element. Is this the song with the dog named Bingo? B-I-N-G-O, 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 and Bingo. Bingo was his name-o. Is that the song that you are singing when you are dancing in a ring and spelling things? Maybe. But did we dance around in a song when we sang that song when I was a child? I don't remember. Okay, next we have bioidentical. Adjective. It's talking about a hormone that has been artificially synthesized, often from a precursor of plant origin, to have a structure said to be identical to that of a dot, dot, dot. It's hormones, so identical to another hormone, a type of hormone. They are bioidentical. They are the same biologically. That's that. I don't really know what else to say about bioidentical. All of my hormones are bioidentical to dogs. Okay, next we have bison grass. Bison grass. Noun. Either of two aromatic, sweet-scented grasses of the genus Anthoxanthum, which are used to flavor certain types of vodka. There's a little bit more native to dot, dot, dot. I don't know where this is native to. I'm guessing the bison would eat it. There's a handful of bison left in the United States. Maybe other places have bison too. They live in fields and they probably eat grass and maybe this type of grass. And then they're like, wow, this grass tastes like vodka. What flavor? Sweet scented grass. Let's look up. What flavor does bison grass add to in vodka? Can I have some of that bison grass vodka, please? Ooh, I'm feeling very bison-y today. And so I would like some vodka that tastes like what I eat. Bison grass adds a unique flavor profile to vodka with notes of vanilla, almond, coconut, and fresh-cut grass. It also has a subtle sweetness and hints of spice, such as cinnamon, and sometimes includes earthy, hay-like, or floral undertones. The resulting spirit, known as Zubrovka, is both fragrant and flavorful. So go find some bison grass vodka. Okay, next we have, this is what we all got. We all got this. It's brain rot. Noun. A perceived loss of intelligence or critical thinking skills. See, I have it. Especially as attributed to the overconsumption of unchallenging or inane dot, dot, dot. I'm going to assume that they say unchallenging or inane content on our phones. That's pretty much it. Just in the world, in the media. That's just what we're doing, and I feel it. I feel this brain rot. I definitely don't be scrolling through these apps as much as I used to. I think that we should all just really cut back because the brain is like, if you're just giving me all this stuff, I don't need to think critically. I don't need to work. I don't need to do anything. And so I'm just going to melt. I'm just going to melt away. That's what it feels like. And not to mention it's hurting the eyes too. Staring at these tiny little screens all right here and the computer screens right here. I mean, this I This is I got the brain rot. Okay, moving on to brown bagged. Two words, adjective. This is of an item, especially a packed lunch or pre-prepared meal. And so this is packed or carried in a brown bag, especially one made of paper. Yeah. So you're talking about, yeah, probably your lunch. Oh, do you have a brown bagged lunch today? That might be how they would say this. Oh, yes, I have a lunch today. I put it in a bag. This bag happens to be brown, so it is very unassuming. This brown thing is made of paper. And so, what is in your brown paper-bagged, brown-bagged lunch? Oh, it's vodka. It's bison grass vodka. So, you know, just put the, nobody will ever know what it is if it's covered in brown paper. Brown bagged. Next, we have Bulgarianize. Bulgarianize. Interesting. So this is a transitive verb. It is to make a person or thing Bulgarian in character, content, or style, specifically to subjugate to Bulgarian rule. What is being subjugated, a people or a territory? So they're making something, the people or the thing, like something that's Bulgarian in character, content, or style to subjugate the rules. Is this a thing that's happening enough that there is a whole word that was invented for it and then that word got added to the dictionary? I just need context for Bulgarianize. This I don't know a lot about Bulgaria, what's going on over there. Let's see. First, the policies of forced assimilation historically used by the Bulgarian state to spread its culture and suppress minority identities. Ugh. These campaigns have primarily targeted Muslim minorities, such as ethnic Turks and Pomaks, but have also affected others, including Muslim Roma and some Christians with regional differences. So, yeah, in the 80s, there was this, and also post-World War II. So, yes, it's like, hey, we are going to Bulgarianize you because we are very proud of our Bulgarian culture, and we think everything should be Bulgarian. So, but here comes the Bulgarianization. Ah! All right, moving on to that, from that to busy bee. This is a noun. This is the first form. This is a person who is constantly or habitually occupied in a task or activity, a hardworking or industrious person. You might say they are as busy as a bee, which is why now they are a busy bee. I often think of this as somebody who is like all up in your business. In your business, but not necessarily. I would call myself a busy bee in this way, in this always occupied in a task or activity. Maybe not 100% of the time, but enough of the time that I always got something going on, which is why I can't add new things. It's hard to get stuff done. I got things I got to deal with today because I've been putting them off because I got too many other things. So I'm a busy bee. Look at me flying around. I'm a busy bee. But we have another busy bee entry. This is also a noun, the second form. It is an event at which a group of volunteers carry out communal work. Working bee is another term here. So let's go to the busy bee event where we can do communal work together. Maybe we are planting trees for bees to pollinate. Maybe that would be flowers. The busy bees. Do they call it a busy bee because it is filled with people who just need something to do all the time? Maybe. All right, next we have CanCon. This is one word. Both of the C's are capitalized. CanCon. This is Canadian content. Specifically, creative content such as music, television, etc., that is considered sufficiently Canadian-made under the requirements of dot, dot, dot. Oh, I don't know. Under the requirements of the Canadian rules. Something like that. CanCon. Is this is a big enough term that we had to have a little short phrase for it? CanCon? Oh, that's CanCon. Schitt's Creek, I think, would be CanCon. It's largely, completely, almost, maybe totally made in Canada by Canadian people. And it's one of the best shows ever. I don't know a lot of other CanCon, but I know that there's a lot of stuff that comes out of Canada and its content. So it's CanCon. Next we have Carbon Market. Carbon market is a noun. It is a system which allows carbon trading to take place between businesses, organizations, countries, etc. Is this kind of like the stocks? Are they literally trading carbon? Or the money associated with the, how does this work? The carbon market. Let's just look up how does the carbon market work. Let's look up that. Carbon markets work by creating a financial incentive to reduce greenhouse gas emissions through a system of trading. There are two main types, cap and trade systems, where a government sets an emissions cap and companies trade permits to meet it, and voluntary markets, where companies or individuals buy credits generated from emission-reducing projects to offset their own emissions. Anything to reduce these greenhouse gases and reduce the carbon being put out into the air is pretty good. So, hey, if this is interesting to you, I think you should go learn more about that. Okay, next we have CARN, C-A-R-N. This is an intransitive verb, an imperative. This is used to urge on a sports team or player. In quotes, it says, come on. Like, maybe you would say, like, come on, let's go. Hey, you're doing a great job. Go win those points. And it maybe just got shortened to CARN. It says also used as a general expression of support. Like, come on. C'MON. Then it just became CARN? But it's a verb. So you are carning them when you say, come on, come on, come on, hey, bada, 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 so wing, bada. Is that carning? Okay, maybe. Next we have catwalker, noun. Well, of course, this could be somebody who is hired to walk your cat. Your cat really needs a walk. You're gone all day. Your cat is like, I need to go outside on a leash, please and thank you. Please call up the catwalker. I am ready for a walk. Or maybe you're out of town. Yeah, this is not very common. This, of course, is not what this definition is. But, of course, I think that it should be. I have thought about walking my cat on a leash. I think she would enjoy it. But I have not done that. So, a catwalker is a noun. It is a runway model. Because they're walking on the catwalk. So they're a catwalker. They're walking all like this. They're doing their poses. I would be the best catwalker, doing my poses. Okay, next we have chaperonin. Is that interesting? Chaperonin, I think, is what this is. It is a noun. It is any of a group of chaperone proteins that typically consist of two stacked oligomeric rings and occur in both dot dot dot. Something about proteins that are chaperone, they're like following along with other things. They're proteins. They're like, hey, you guys, you hormones or whoever I'm chaperoning, you can't make out because I'm the chaperone. We're at a dance. So it's chaperonin. Chapel Ronin? Is that her name? Okay, moving on to, how do you pronounce this? Let's just say chiac or chiac. It is a noun. It is a vernacular variety of Acadian French spoken primarily in the southeastern region of the province of New Brunswick in Canada and characterized by dot, dot, dot. Let's just look up what is Chiac characterized. Oh, I got a f- character. characterized as. So it's a vernacular. It's a type of way that people are talking in this area in Canada. It's characterized as a contact variety of Acadian French spoken in this area, New Brunswick, that is heavily influenced by and borrows from English. It is a unique linguistic phenomenon that blends the two languages at a lexical, phonetic, and sometimes syntactical level. There's code switching, bilingual speakers from French to English. There's words that were brought in from English. Let's see, unique phonology, grammatical integration. Anyway, very interesting. It's a combination of French and English. Pronounced kind of like Chiac, maybe? Okay, next we have, I'm going to assume it's pronounced Chicham. I could be wrong. Very likely, I am wrong. Oh, by the way, Chiac has a capital C, and Chicham also has a capital C. So, Chicham is an adjective and a noun. It is of, belonging to, or relating to the Aintz-Chicham of eastern Ecuador and northern Peru, also of, belonging to, or relating to, something else. Aintz-Chicham, A-E-N-T-S, and there's an accent on the E. Are those people? What? I have to look this up. Little copy paste. What is Aintz-Chicham? The name of a collective of Shuar and Achuar intellectuals chose for the language family formerly known as Hivaroan. The name, which translates to people of the word, was adopted in 2018 to replace a term considered pejorative and of colonial origin. The group includes various indigenous peoples in the Amazon region of Ecuador and Peru, such as the, and then there's, I'm going to mispronounce them, Achuar, Awajun, Shiwiar, Shuar, and Wampis. If you are Chicham, you are part of this group, the Aintz-Chicham. These are words that I am not familiar with. I am so sorry. But yes, it's a group of people in Ecuador and Peru in that region. Around the Amazon, did it say? Yeah, by the Amazon. The more important Amazon, the one that is being deforested. We need more... I would love to visit, but we need more trees grown and also maybe less trees cut down. That's more important, I think. Okay, next, we're going to do one more word for this episode. It's clergy person. Noun, a priest, minister, or religious leader, especially within the Christian church. Just a member of the clergy is what it is, a clergy person. Not a clergyman, not a clergywoman, a clergy person. Okay. Well, those were all of the words. I hope it was all just wonderful for you. You can call me a busy bee. Maybe we shouldn't have so much Bulgarianization happening. Watch out for the brain rot. Be mindful of the amount of time that you are spending in front of your screens, and specifically just mindlessly scrolling. Just try to minimize it is all I say. I'm telling myself that. And also maybe go for walks. Everything we do is just, our eyes are being screwed up by everything is so close, 1 foot to 2 feet in front of us. But your eyes needs to, they need to look far away. They need to use those muscles to be working properly. So go for a walk and look outside for a while. Outside's good. All right, let me tell you about a movie that I watched. What do we got? Perks of Being a Wallflower. I had never seen this movie. It is from 2012. That was a long time ago. And I related to it. I don't remember what time it takes place. Does it take place in 2012 or does it take place in maybe the 90s? I feel like it was a little bit of a period piece in that way, if I remember correctly. It's been a while since I saw it. But yes, I definitely related to the character of, like, being kind of nerdy and not being very popular and just sort of hanging out against the wall, a wallflower, doing a lot of that, did a lot of that in those that time period of high school. But yeah, good movie. Based on a book, I think. All right, that is it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking it out and being my friend. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye. Let's fucking start this episode over. This is all sorts of fucked up.